Matthew chapter number 13, Matthew 13 and verse number 44. The Bible says this, again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath and buyeth that field. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you'll help us, Lord, to understand, dear God, just in a new way, a fresh way, Lord, a very real and sweet way, just what you did when you paid the price for our salvation. But Lord, we don't want to just see that. We want to learn, dear God, how to look at people the way you look at people, how to think about people the way you think about people. So Lord, help us not only to understand you more, but help us to be more like you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. When you see the phrase, the kingdom of heaven, then what that is talking about is this. Jesus was going to tell something that's happening on earth, and he's going to use that in such a way so that we can understand better God's view of things from heaven. I say the kingdom of heaven is heaven's view of earthly happenings. I think it's a wonderful thing in our lives when we lift ourselves above ourselves and not just consider what we are seeing down here, but to stop and consider God's viewpoint of those things. I think one of the prayers that would be good for each of us to pray from time to time is this: Lord, help me to see people the way that you see them. And so when we're talking about the kingdom of God, we're talking about heaven's view of earthly happenings. In verse number 44, what we see here is a story about a man that discovers a treasure that was hid in a field. So a man discovers a hid treasure in a field. Problem is, the field don't belong to him. And so the Bible goes on to say that when he discovers this and when he finds this, the Bible uses the little two-word phrase, he hideth. And if you study that phrase, what it meant is this: he keeps his discovery a secret. He hides it. So he discovered it, or maybe uncovered it, and then he covered it back. He saw it, but he didn't tell anybody about it. So a man discovers a hid treasure in a field, and he keeps his discovery a secret. Then the Bible goes on to say that he negotiates the price of that field. There has to be interaction between him and the owner. He approaches that man and says, I want to buy that field. And then when he has negotiated the price, the Bible goes on to tell us that he's excited that the man is willing to sell. And so he goes and sells everything he has. Here's the problem. What the man wants for the field, in order for him to be able to afford that field, he's going to have to sell everything else that he owns in the world in order to raise the money to buy that field. And so he buys then the field. So he goes and sells everything he owns to raise the money needed to buy the field, and he buys the field. But wait a minute, by doing so, he enriches himself beyond where he was before by securing the treasure that was hid in the field. Now here's a story of a man who saw something of great value. You know what? He decided he was willing to sell everything in order to secure this treasure. I want you to think about this, and I want you to think about it as God views us, okay? The only way to get the treasure was to buy the field. I want to say that again. The only way to get the treasure was to buy the field. The treasure was hid in the field. The treasure was connected to the field. The treasure came with the field, and the field came with the treasure. If he was going to possess the treasure, are you listening? Then he had to be willing to buy the field. If you want the treasure, here's the name of the message. You got to buy the field to get the treasure. You got to buy the field to get the treasure. Now, folks, listen to me. Let me tell you something about the field that he bought. I've never seen it. I don't know where it is. But I can almost guarantee you, being a country boy, I know what he got when he bought that field. There were weeds in that field. There were mice in that field. There were nettles in that field. There were thorns in that field. There were cockleburrs. Is that what we call them around here? Cockleburrs. In that field. By the way, there was dirt. I know that for sure. There was dirt in that field, and when it rained, there was mud in that field. There were ants in that field. I don't even know what a chigger is, but there were chiggers in that field. There might have been a skunk or two living in that field. You call Brother Val to go trap those for you, okay? There may have been ground squirrels in that field, and they're burrowing holes down there. You got to be careful. There were spiders in that field, all right? Think about that. The man knew these things were in the field because he'd been in that field. Remember, he was in that field. That's where he saw the treasure. That's where he discovered the treasure. But all these things were forgotten when he focused on the treasure he had discovered in that field. Please listen, the treasure was of such great value to him that he was willing to buy the weeds to get the treasure. You thinking about that? He was willing to put up with the nettles and the thorns and the cockle burrs to get the treasure. The dirt and the mud was worth the treasure. The ants and the mice and the chiggers and the occasional skunk was worth the treasure. All right, walking through a spider web or two on the way to the treasure was a small price to pay to secure the treasure that was hid in that field. Now I want to take into God's mind, and I want you to look through God's eyes for just a minute. You see, folks, God saw, and I don't know why he did, but God saw in the souls of mankind a treasure. A treasure. Now God saw our sin, but he also saw our souls. God considered the cost and said, you know what? I don't know why he said this, but he said, mankind is worth it. So God paid the greatest price ever paid for anything that's ever been purchased to buy back the souls of lost men. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. You see, folks, Jesus wanted the treasure. He wanted the treasure of your soul. But he had to buy the field to get the treasure. There was a lot of negatives that came with the treasure. Jesus said this, if I'm going to get the treasure, then you know what? I have to be born into a sinful world. But you know what? I think the treasure's worth it. I will have to be birthed in a stable and laid in a manger. But you know what? If that's what it takes to get the treasure, I'll get the treasure. I'll have to be raised in a poor family. I'll have to be misunderstood. I'll have to show a lot of patience with the disciples. I will have to put up with their failings and their faithlessness from time to time. I'll have to see them fall and fail. But if I'm going to get the treasure, then you know what? That's part of the price. I'll be denied by those who said they'd never deny me. But you know what? Still worth the treasure. I'll be betrayed, but it's worth the treasure. I'll be arrested, falsely accused. I will have to experience sorrow. Think of what Jesus experienced. Think of what he paid, folks. Sorrow, rejection, hatred, mockery. They're going to throw a purple robe and a crown of thorns on my head and then take the reed out of my hand and beat the thorns into my brow. But you know what? Hey, if that's what it costs to get the treasure, then I think it's worth it. Folks, I don't understand. I don't think I'm worth it. I don't think mankind's worth it. But God said we were worth it. I'll be beaten, I'll be whipped, I'll be condemned, I'll be sentenced to death. I'll have to walk up Golgotha's hill. I'll have to have those three rusty nails hammered into my body. I'll be cursed, I'll be spit upon. I'll watch my mother's heart break as I hang from a cross. I have to endure the darkness of Calvary. And by the way, this is where it gets real. I'll have to become the thing I hate the most. I have to become that unblemished sacrifice, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. If I'm going to get the treasure, then I have to become sin. I have to watch my father turn his back on me. I'll have to endure the punishment that comes with forever pain for the sins of all mankind. You know what I'm going to have to do if I'm going to get the treasure? I'm going to have to cry from Calvary, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? I'll have to die. I have to lay there for 3 days and 3 nights in a borrowed tomb. But you know what Jesus said? I want the treasure. I want the treasure. I want the souls of mankind. You know what? If I have to buy the field to get the treasure, then I'll just buy the field. I'll take the negatives with the positive. I don't know why, but Jesus saw something in us the devil will never see. And you know what he said? I'm willing to pay whatever price is required to get to offer mankind the gift of eternal life. I'll pay the price knowing that some will reject it, that some will despise it, that not all men will embrace it. Some will mock it. And some will even condemn it as a fairy tale. But you know what Jesus said? A few of them will accept it. And because of those few, I will pay the price of the sins of all mankind. Folks, listen to me. Can I put it this way? God was willing to buy the field to get the treasure. Now that allows us to see God see us through his eyes. And you know what? He was willing to put up with a lot of negatives. And by the way, when he got us, our soul may be a treasure, but it comes with a lot of stuff. You know what? Jesus, even after he purchases us, has to put up with a lot of junk. But you know what? He still says it was worth it. Now, listen to the message, okay? Because now we're going to shift and we're going to try to get ourselves off of this earth up into heaven and look at each other the way God looks at us. As Christians, we need to see people the way God sees them. Let's get a kingdom of heaven view of people instead of a kingdom of earth view of people. Let's see the treasure of lost souls and be willing to buy the field. Now you think about that. The treasure of a lost soul. Let's look at it the same way that Jesus looked at it. Well, preacher, what would it take in order to be able to see somebody saved? Well, you know what? If you want the treasure, you're going to have to buy the field. I got to thinking about this, and I thought about when my mom and dad moved from Greencastle to Brazil, Indiana, and bought that little place north of Brazil, and I thought to myself, I'm so glad that Jerry and Ruth Purcell had a kingdom of heaven viewpoint of the family that moved in across the street from us. You know, most people would have just seen a couple of young kids and children and no interest in God. I mean, he'd have looked out, come on, folks, and seen Dad walking around the front yard smoking a cigarette. Saw my mom driving by in the car smoking a cigarette. That's what he would have saw, they would have saw if they had a kingdom of earth view of us. But you know what? They saw a treasure. Jerry and Ruth Purcell saw a treasure. And they said, if we're going to get the treasure, we're going to have to buy the field. You think about that. I think about Pastor Evans when we walked into the Rock Run Baptist Church. And you know what? He saw a young couple with some children, not a whole lot of church background, not really even understanding the basics. But you know what he said? He said, those souls are a treasure to God, so they're going to be a treasure to me. I think of all the things he put up with our family because of our not being able to understand and how patient he was. And how long we came before my dad finally began to put it together and God began to work in our heart. Folks, listen to me. Everybody seems like they want to be there the minute that a soul's saved, but nobody wants to buy the field. They just want to go right for the treasure. If you're going to get the treasure, you got to buy the field. The field comes with it. I think after we were saved, the patience that church showed with new converts that didn't know anything. Found out that my sister could play the piano. So Brother Evans decided it'd be a good idea for us three boys to sing in church. Yeah, Bobby, Jerry, and David, the Ross trio, you know. And so he went to my mom and he said, you know what, we'd like to have the boys sing in church. And so that was all the instruction my mom received. So she went to the Bible bookstore in town in Terre Haute and bought a book of good old Christian music. At least what we thought was good old Christian music. And we practiced and practiced and practiced. And finally the three of us stood up there in front of the whole church. And my sister starts playing on the piano. And we start singing, put your hand in the hand of the man who stilled the water. Put your hand in the hand of the man who calmed the sea. Take a look at yourself. And you can look at others differently by putting your hand in the hand of the man from the Galilee. You know you want to sing it. Every time I look into the holy book, I want to tremble, tremble. When I read about the parts where the carpenter cleared the temple, temple. That was us. We should have took that on the road, brother. Forget the Statler brothers. The Ross brothers could have made all that money, you know. So I remember Brother Evans coming to my dad afterwards and going, So we practice another song for the next week. They baptized Jesse Taylor in Cedar Creek last Sunday. Jesus saved a soul and Satan lost a good right arm. They all cried hallelujah when Jesse's head went under. Because this time he went under for the Lord. We were good, man. You know, for some reason our entire singing career was cut short. I don't know exactly what happened. The third one, we got more in the ballpark. We sang a little talk with Jesus. I once was lost in sin, but Jesus took me in. And then a little life from heaven filled my soul. It made my heart in love and wrote my name above. And just a little talk with Jesus made me whole. Man, I'll tell you what, YouTube's going to blow up. It is going to blow up. It's literally, it might blow up. So we didn't know anything. You know what God said? I'll take the field. The soul's worth it. I'll take the field. You know, God knew the mess you were before he bought you. He knew the mess he was getting before he got any of us. And you know what he said? I'll take it. I'll take the nettles. I'll take the thorns. I'll take the cockle burls. I'll take the imperfections. I'll take the spiders. You girls like spiders? You like? Now you're okay with spiders? All right. How about mice? All right, come on. I'm not believing you. One of you tell on your sister. How do they act when they see a mouse? Terrible. Scream, jump up on the chair, just go, yeah, okay. But you know, Jesus said, I'll take it all. Folks, listen to me. Aren't you glad that God not only wanted our souls, he wanted everything that came with it. And he has to put up with a lot. But you know what? He said, it's worth it. I want the treasure, so I'll take the field. I want the treasure, so I'll take what comes with it. I want the treasure, so I'll take their ignorance. I want the treasure, so I'll take their worldliness. You know, I'll take them from where they are, and I'll make something out of them. And I want to remind all of us folks that we ought not to be judgmental of people. And because we're taking an earthly view of where they're at instead of a heavenly view of where they could be. I think God just not only sees where we are and what we are, I think he sees what we could be. And you know what? God's willing to invest the love and the time and the patience and the forgiveness 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 and the forgiveness. And somebody does us wrong once and we want to write them off. It's time we understood about the kingdom of heaven. It's about time we got a heavenly view of earthly happenings. I think about the bus ministry. I want to thank God for those of you that are in the bus ministry. You know, folks, listen to me. If you've never been introduced to the bus ministry, I'd encourage you, and I mean this. I would encourage every single member of Blessed Hope Baptist Church 1 week a year to just decide they're going to get up, call a bus captain and say, where do you start your route out? I want to ride it this week. I think it'll help you to see some things that maybe you don't see by just watching these kids walk in the door. But I remember my introduction to the bus ministry as far as working in the bus ministry. We had a bus ministry when I was growing up here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. I never got involved in it, honestly. If I had one thing that I would change in my grown-up years, I think when in connection to the church, and I think it would have made me a better Christian, it would have helped me to have more victory in my life. I think as a teenager, I should have been in the bus ministry at Blessed Hope Baptist Church, but I wasn't. Went off to Bible college, and I knew that I needed to learn to be a better soul winner, so I joined Fisherman's Club for the first couple years, and Johnny Esposito kept bugging me, I want you to ride my bus. He said, just ride it one time. Just ride it one time. Now, that's what they do to trick you, okay? Just ride it one time. So I told him finally, on a certain Sunday, I'll tell you what, I'll come ride your bus. He'd been bugging me. What I didn't know was that he was planning a sabotage, an ambush on my life. He told all the lady workers, Jerry Ruskin, ride the bus. We got to get him on the bus route. We got to get him in the bus ministry. He went to all the houses on Saturday of all the bus kids and had them make me cards. And they made me cookies. And every single kid that came on the bus gave me a gift and gave me cookies and gave me a card. And I thought, man, I love the bus ministry. The bus ministry is amazing. You know what all I saw? Treasures. That's all I saw. Look at these treasures. And man, they sing me songs and they all wanted to meet me and they all wanted to make sure I felt welcome and they all had a gift for me. And Brother Johnny made a big deal about me riding the bus. And like I said, they basically tricked me, okay? They tricked me. I was tricked into the bus ministry. And you know what I saw when I first started? Treasures. But folks, listen to me. If you want the treasures, then you know what you need to do? You got to be able to willing to buy the field. Because you know what? That newness of the bus ministry will wear off pretty quick. And guess what? The same kid that gave you cookies 2 weeks ago is the same kid that kicks you in the shin and calls you a bad name as they get off the bus, all right? And that family that you thought was going to be your bus kids forever and ever and ever, all of a sudden there's a Saturday where, you know what, all of a sudden they won't even answer the door. And if they see on the street, they act like they don't know who you are. And you know what you do? You figure out, guess what? There's treasures on that bus route. But if I want the treasures, I'm going to have to buy the field. Because you can't get the treasures without the field. And by the way, the field's connected to the treasures. And so, folks, listen to me. What we have to understand in this matter of serving the Lord is this. It's not all positive. It's not all happy days are here again. It's not all blessings. It's not all high days. It's not all everybody appreciates me. It's not everything goes right. It's sometimes it's the bus breaks down. And sometimes it's, you know what? It's cold. And sometimes it's sweltering heat. And sometimes you go on Saturday and you prayed and you've worked and you've begged and you've signed up a bunch of new kids and you go are so excited and you go to every one of their house the next morning and nobody will come to the door. There's some days that you go home and count and you think, man, we're going to have 40 on our bus and we have 4. You know what it is? It's called the field. Guess what? It's got weeds. It's got cockle burls. Look, do you want the treasure or not? Do you want the treasure or not? Think about it. Do you want the treasure or not? I believe what we need is some families to go back, by the way, to that back wall right back there. It's facing that way. And you know what? Decide to buy a field. Decide to buy a field. Because in every one of those bus ministry areas, I promise you this, there are treasures in every single one of them. But you got to buy the field to get the treasures. Our Operation Occupation, we're getting ready to launch that. You know what? I'm excited about a brand new year with our Operation Occupation ministry. First Sunday night, I think in March, we're going to launch Operation Occupation. And there's 20, you know what there are back there, folks? There's 20 mission fields. And in every one of those fields, there's a few treasures. But you know how you get the treasures? You buy the field. Everybody wants the treasures, Brother Jeff. Nobody wants the field. If you want the treasures, you buy the field. You buy everything that comes with it. Okay? Because that's the way it is. That's the way it is. We need to look at ministry that way. There was a family years ago that came to our church and we kept working with them and working with them. And I mean, brother, it's one of those families that just, I mean, they were exhausting. I don't mean this wrong, but I'm just telling you, they were exhausting. They'd do real well for a while, and then they'd do lousy for a while. They'd be faithful for a while, they'd be unfaithful for a while. They'd be in the right spirit, and then they'd be in a bad spirit. And it's just like I rode the roller coaster and rode the roller coaster and rode the roller coaster with this family so many times. And you know, I got to the point where it's just like, what am I doing? You know, you begin to question yourself, what am I doing? And I can remember about the time I was doubting what I was doing. I had a good man, good intentions, and you know what? I don't throw rocks at him because he just said out loud what I was thinking. But he literally stopped me in the church here and say, Pastor, can I ask you a question? Why do you keep messing with that family? I don't mean it wrong, but good night. And you know what I said? I looked at him and I said the name of one of their kids. Come on. I said the name of one of their kids. And they just looked at me. I said, I think there's a treasure in that field. Amen. And I'm not going to get the treasure without buying the field. So you know what I'll do? I'll just buy the field. And you know what? In the field, there's thorns, and I'm going to get scratched up a little. But you know what? There's a treasure in that field. Are you listening to me? Sometimes what you got to, listen, sometimes I'm sure people sometimes look at me and say, preacher, I don't know why you spend time with that family. Why don't you just give up on those folks? And well, first of all, tell me who God's given up on. Come on, folks. We're talking about a heavenly view. But on top of that, sometimes if you'll watch the preacher go the extra mile, it's because I've identified a treasure in that field. By the way, the young lady whose name I named is now a pastor's wife. There was a treasure in that field. Oh, did I want to pull out my hair sometimes? Yes, but there was a treasure in that field. Did you put up with crazy tomfoolery within that family sometimes? Yes! You can tell it's affected me. But there was a treasure in that field. And I'm glad God didn't give up on us. I'm glad God didn't give up on my family. Number one, let's see the treasure of lost souls and be willing to buy the field. I want you to listen. Let's bring it more personal. Let's see the treasure of a Christian family and be willing to buy the field. Let's bring this within your own family. Guys, remember when you first saw her? Come on. You know what you saw? Treasure. Come on, gals. You know what you saw when you first saw him? A field that you just hoped had a treasure in it somewhere. No, you didn't. No, that's not what you saw. Ladies, you are so bad. Don't say those kind of things. You know, you watch these young people and they get all Twitter painted and they're just sitting there. I was at Jay Reed's this week for just a little bit, and his oldest daughter's getting ready to get married to Tony Wood's oldest son. And they're around the table eating with us, but they are not around the table eating with us. They're sitting over there, one's at the head of the table, one's on the corner, and the whole time this conversation is going on, I just look at them and they're just... All they're seeing is treasure, brother. That's all they're seeing is treasure. You know what, folks? Come on, guys. Our wives are a treasure. They're a treasure. Hey, ladies, don't let the devil steal this from your heart. Your husband is a treasure. But you know what? That treasure comes with a field. And one of the things we need to hit a reset button in our Christian lives is this. We've got to stop this whole idea of thinking that we're going to have any human relationship. I don't care if it's marriage. I don't care if it's a relationship with our children. I don't care if it's a relationship with the lost or another church member. And think that the entire field is made up of treasures. It's not. It's not. And so you think you married the perfect man. And then you go to the refrigerator the first week you're married to look for the ketchup. Only the ketchup is not in the refrigerator. And you know that you bought ketchup and you know that you put it in the refrigerator. And did he already drink an entire bottle of ketchup? Honey, yes. Where's the ketchup at? It's in the cupboard where it belongs. How many are put the ketchup in the cupboard people? Raise your hand. I am. Good night. How many has put the ketchup in the refrigerator? Why would you fry a hot hamburger and then put cold ketchup on top of it? What is wrong with you people? Aren't you glad you came to church this morning? Well, it'll spoil. I've been putting ketchup in the cupboard. How long have we been married? 37 years. And it started the first week when I had to straighten that mess out. And realized, I didn't just get a treasure, I got a field, brother. I got a field. And so then she goes over to the cupboard thinking, why would he put it in the cupboard? And she picks it up. And you know, if you're going to use ketchup, you need to shake it up. So she shakes ketchup. And then next thing you know, there's ketchup on the ceiling, ketchup on the floor. And she realized she didn't get a treasure, she got a field, okay? A field that does not always put the cap properly back onto... Are you getting this? No, I just thought, I know, you keep watching Hallmark movies. Stop. Life is not a Hallmark movie. It's more like Nightmare on Elm Street, all right? Kind of married to Mary Poppins, you know? It's kind of bad. Bible says, husbands, love your wives. Here's the standard, folks. Even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. When Jesus looked down at the church, he saw a mess. And he said, I want them anyway. You know what? I don't care about the thorns. I don't care about the thistles. I don't care about the mice. I don't care about the spiders. I don't care about the mud. I don't care about the dirt. I care about the treasure. And you know what, folks, listen to me. If your marriage is going to survive, if you're going to hit the hallmark, come on, those milestones that we watch people in this church hit on a regular basis, and you're going to be together 30 years and 35 and 40 and 45, God bless you, you couples that are setting that example for our young. I mean that. I can't thank you enough. You just walking in the door nowadays, still married after 40 years, is a great testimony and a great encouragement to the young couples at Blessed Oak Baptist Church. But you young gals, you go sit with some of these ladies that have been married for decades, and you know what? They'll tell you, yep, he's a treasure. And he came with a field. Take off your rose-colored glasses. If he didn't need help, you wouldn't have been created, gal.
That's right. Come on.
Come on. Come on. And if you were perfect, sir, then God wouldn't have said he needs help. I mean, that's the way this thing works. Hey, folks, listen to me. We're all imperfect. But God looked and saw something in every single one of us that he said was worth sending his son to die on the cross for. If we can just find that same treasure in each other that he found in us, then I'm going to tell you something. It will. You'll never have to worry about ending up in divorce. If you'll just, both of you, decide that you're going to focus on the treasure, because that's the important thing. Husbands, so love your wives. How? As Christ loved the church, gave himself for it. How about this, ladies? Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself. And the wife see that she reverence her husband. One of the things I say, and by the way, I don't know, I guess you're getting them, but, you know, I decided for the month of, I decided this in October last year. I said, when we turn the calendar, we're going to do 31 days using the prayer chain just to hit reminders. I want to do whatever I can to help strengthen the marriages of Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Well, one of the things I don't think I've even put out there, you know, when it comes to women, the most important thing that they need is love, gentlemen. Not love because they're always lovely. Okay, not love because they always have a good day. Not love because they're always in the right mood or the right spirit. They just need the kind of love that Jesus gives to us every day, even when we don't deserve it. And ladies, let me just say this about a man. Yes, does he need me to love him? He does. But respect for a man is more important than love. And ladies, if you get to the point where you are disrespectful to your husband and disrespectful of his position in the church, or I'm sorry, in your home, then you are damaging something inside of him that you can't understand because you're not made the same way. But that is a big deal. Well, I'd respect him if, wait a minute. So you want a treasure but no field. Your obedience to the Bible is contingent upon his perfectness. Why don't we lay all of our excuses aside, and why don't we go back to saying, when we met, I saw a treasure. And you know what? Since we've been married, we figured out that the field came with the treasure. Both of us figured out. Come on. Both of us have figured out that the field came with the treasure. But you know what? Treasure was worth it. And I'll take everything that comes with it. Because you know what? God has given me a Christian wife. Amen. And folks, listen to me. He that findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor of the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's move this to our kids. I think we need to start seeing our children as treasures. Amen. I think we need to see children in general in the United States of America as treasures. Amen. not as a bother, but as treasures. Little children are an heritage of the Lord. And the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. And even amongst Christian people, there's the Pope, who I don't agree with on almost anything. But the Pope got up the other day and had to rebuke Catholic families who are adopting dogs and refusing to have children. The Pope has to fix it with the Catholics. I think maybe Baptist preachers need to fix it with the Baptists. I mean, I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to get into this pet thing, because if I go there, I'm going to lose my mind. You're going to see a lot of the field if I go there. I cannot believe the average family, and I mean even Christian family, and the adoration and the money and all the things they lavish upon their animals. They are animals. They're animals. Help us, Jesus. Anyway, I don't care if you have a dog, but if you treat it as better than you treated your kids, then you might want to think about it, all right? Watch this. See your children as a treasure again. And so here's a young couple, and they just, you know what? It isn't very long. They've been married a while, and next thing you know, he comes home, and she's looking through a book of baby names. And he says, well, that's an interesting choice of reading. And she said, well, you know, it's just something we might want to start thinking about. Why would we need to think about it? And then she looks up and she has that look on her face. And all of a sudden you're going, what? Yeah, daddy. And you know what? Man alive, you sit down beside her and you start looking at those. Come on, you know. Maximus, you know, names Maximus. Is your name Maximus? It's not. It's just Max. Just Max. M-A-X. Max. Maximus would have been so much cooler. What were you guys thinking? Hey, at least it's three letters and I can pronounce it. Amen. So thank you for that. Thank you for that. And it's spelled the way it sounds. Thank you for that. A little fun. And, you know, all you do is then all of a sudden, you know, you go shopping for a crib and then you're doing the nursery and you're decorating and all of a sudden you men are noticing that there's very visible changes happening to your wife and she's getting larger and larger and larger and more moody and more moody and more moody. And all of a sudden, she's waking up in the middle of the night. She wants you to go get, you know, Rocky Road ice cream with dill pickles. Could you get them as fast as you can? I got to have them right now. And you said, I didn't see this field coming. And then you go into the delivery room, and, you know, your husband, and you're looking forward to the process. I'm going to be up here coaching my wife, and you're saying sweet nothings in her ear. And while you're trying to do that, she's screaming how she's going to murder you, and you did this to me, and... But then the baby's born. And now all of a sudden it's like, we are bare. Look at this. She's perfect. He's perfect. Oh, yeah, call me in a few days. That's the treasure. Now let me tell you about the field. Dirty diapers comes with the treasure. How about this? A messy house comes with the treasure. How about walking the floor at night? Colic comes with the treasure. Come on, can I get an amen? You're going to find out pretty soon a sin nature came with the treasure. Come on, the terrible twos come with the treasure, which eventually morphs into the more terrible teens. Comes with the treasure. Yeah, I got a kid, but I also got nettles and weeds and mice and ants and thorns and skunks and mud and dirt. But you know what? Look right up here. If you're not careful, you're going to start looking at all of that and forget that moment when you first held that kid in your arm and you understood clearer in that moment than you ever will again that God gave you a treasure. And if it comes with a field, it comes with a field. So what? Every relationship down here comes with a field. Every person has treasure in them. But you have to buy the field to get the treasure, which brings us to the end of our message, number three. Let's see the treasure of a home church and be willing to buy the field. You know what the local New Testament church is in each of our lives? It's a treasure. Amen. It's a gift from Almighty God. And it should never be diminished. Never be diminished. Never should be looked at as non-essential. Come on, United States of America. And shouldn't even be treated as by Christian people as a take it or leave it, as it fits into our life. Listen, church attendance used to be based on conviction. Now it's based on convenience in most Christian homes. But wait a minute. You say, preacher, when I first came to Blessed Hope Baptist Church, we walked in here, man, we just noticed a spirit. And I looked at my husband and I said, you know, I've never heard singing. Look at these people singing out, and they're singing. They're excited. And they love the Lord. You came a few times and somebody walked out and they got saved, and you looked at each other and thought, you know what? During our whole growing up years, did anyone ever walk down and get saved? And all of a sudden, that's happening on a regular basis. It don't happen every Sunday, but it happens a lot around here. And you begin to see the people that are sacrificing and going out and running buses, and people that are preaching in nursing homes. And you know what you see? Treasure, 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 treasure. And you say, you know what? Let's go all in. Come on, let's go all in. And you say, preacher, how do I join Blessed Hope Baptist Church? And I have that meeting and I go through the process with you. And then you come forward. We want to join. And you know what? Hey, can I say this? There's a lot of treasure around here. But there's also field around here. You know why so many people just church hop, church hop, church hop, church hop? Because they go through that process. And they show up and they look around and all they see is treasure. And then you know what? They get to coming for a while and they find out, guess who's at church? People. People are at church. Human beings with imperfections and shortcomings and failings. Sometimes people that, you know what? You start to look up to and then they disappoint you in some great way. Guess who pastors the church? A person, a human. Okay? I mean, that's what we have here, people. And everybody in here is a treasure. Everybody in here is a treasure. And everybody in here comes with the field. You know, one of the things we've got to take a step back. Come on. God, I brought you up to heaven, and I'm saying, now look through God's eyes at us. And look at what he was willing to pay for what he got. And try to comprehend why he saw any worth in it. But he did. And then think about once he bought us, all of the patience that he's poured out. Can't we take a little of that and just show a little grace to the other people that walk through the door of Blessed Hope Baptist Church? Hey, folks, you join a church and you find out pretty soon there's all kinds of different people here, all kinds of different backgrounds. Some people were raised in church. Some people weren't raised in church. Some people are all different places in Christian growth and grace. And some folks have really strong attributes in this area. And some people are very weak in that area. And they may be stronger in this area. And somebody else is weaker in this area. And listen to me. If you get to the point where the only reason you're coming is to count the cockleburrows, or constantly smell the air to see if you got a whiff of a skunk, then pretty soon you know what you'll do? You'll walk out the door, but you'll leave behind the treasures. Folks, listen to me. You don't have a perfect pastor, but you got a pastor that loves you. And by the way, we have a perfect book that we preach out of. I had a lady come by the church just this week that used to come to the church, and she said, yeah, we can start going to another church. And I said, I went by and visited them. I knew they'd made the decision. The only thing I don't really like about it is they preach out of a different translation of the Bible. But besides that, and I thought to myself, the only thing you don't like, you know what? She left here because she began to see a field, and she went somewhere where there's not even the treasure of the accuracy of the preserved words of Almighty God. Folks, listen to me. I mean, I was pretty transparent with everybody. A lot of times when people come down the aisle to join the church, you don't know what I say? I walk down there, I'll shake their hand, and I'll look at them. I'll say, I want you to understand right now, first off, that you don't have a perfect pastor, and I'm going to disappoint you. Sometime this isn't a perfect church, but we're sure glad that you come. It's almost like I just might as well start there. Saving them a time.
Folks, listen to me. If you're not careful, you're going to stop seeing the treasures that God has blessed this church with because you're focused on the field that just comes with being human beings. It's a part of every church. And you can leave here and you know what you're going to find out? You may find a church that's got treasures, but you're going to find out sooner or later it's got a field too. You know what you ought to do? Just pray about it and just say, Lord, where do you want me? And then just plant yourself there. Just plant yourself there and stay. Just stay. Just say, this is my church. Yep, not perfect, but it's my church. That's my preacher, not perfect. These are my fellow church members. They're not perfect, but you know what? We're all trying to grow together, do the best we can. We pray and love each other. And you know what? We're trying to reach people for Christ. So you know what? Let's just give ourselves to it. And that's the best we can offer you. You've heard this said, but one man said, if you find a perfect church, don't join it. Because the minute you do, you'll mess it up. And I think all of us can say amen to that. I want you to take this truth home. I didn't go to every relationship that's out there. But I promise you, you can take this principle. And you can take it to every human relationship. Some of you kids are way too judgmental when it comes to your mom and dad. You know why? Because you got to an age where you stop just seeing treasure. You got the age to where you start comprehending that there's a field with the treasure. So what? That doesn't make them any more less important in your life and shouldn't. If you want a treasure, you got to buy the field. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your goodness to us. Lord, I pray, dear God, that you would help us, each and every one, as we are trying to maneuver through this thing called life. And one of the greatest gifts in life are the relationships, these wonderful earthly relationships that we are allowed to have. Lord, I pray, dear God, that we would reexamine every one of those relationships in light of the truth that we saw this morning. If we're going to see lost people saved and new converts grow in the Lord, then we're going to have to understand with the treasure comes a field. If we're going to see young people continue to grow up and serve the Lord, we're going to have to understand there's some field that's going to come with every treasure. Lord, while we're looking around at everybody else, it wouldn't hurt any of us to go find a mirror and put our own lives under the same light of judgment that we seem to want to judge everybody else with. And it's a good day when a person looks in a mirror and says, hey, bud, there's some field that came with this treasure too. Lord, I pray, dear God, that we'd treat each other in light of what we've learned this morning, that there would be a heightened level of grace, a heightened level of mercy, a heightened level of patience, all of the things that you bestow upon us every single day. Lord, I pray, dear God, that we'd be very generous in showering people, endowing people with those same things in our relationships. We pray these things in Jesus' name.